I want to start a new series this morning, and the title of the series is Go and Make Disciples. We have three goals in 2022 for the church. The first one is we want to grow the church, and we've talked about that in the earlier weeks. Today we're going to talk about go and make disciples. That's goal number two. Our third goal is to bless the community through the Pavilion and the Future Family Center. But today, it's all about making disciples, and what does that mean? The title of the message is this: be a world changer by changing your world. I want to enlarge our thinking this morning that you can be a world changer. And the way it happens is when you change your own heart of how you see the world, you can become a world change agent. Got a few quotes, they're in your notes, but here's a few slides as well. Here's the first one. Be the change you wish to see in the world. In other words, you want to make changes and you want to see things differently. Be the change that you want to see happen in the world. Here's another quote. We'll kind of unpack it. It's this: attract what you expect, reflect what you desire, become what you respect, and mirror what you admire. There's a lot in that one, but here's what it means. If you want, through our faith relationship with Christ, we can attract what we're believing God for. And the way we become a change agent in our world is when our faith in God's word and what we believe he has for us, we become attracted to it, and it's attracted to us. Henry David Thoreau, here's the last one. Go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life you've imagined. We're going to talk about confidence today, because God wants us to be a confident people. The problem with the last 2 years and the pandemic, and life has a tendency to wear us down and beat us up, we lose confidence in the future we believed and wanted and were trusting God for. And so today I hope it'll be a shot in the arm that we need to gain this sense of world changer mentality. And it can happen to each of us if we're willing to embrace the call that God has on each of our lives. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to share three simple thoughts of how to be a world changer. They're simple ideas, but how it can impact the world you live in, whether you're in college, whether you're in high school, whether you're married or single, whether you're a parent or grandparent or whatever your stage in life, anybody can be a world changer if we understand God's call on our life. Let's get started. It's in your notes. Number one, the first truth about being a world changer is this: you and I have to walk with confidence. We have to journey through life with a sense of steadfast belief and boldness. We need to somehow look at life and the challenges and say, I can do this through the grace of God, and become bold and become confident as we approach the challenges. Matthew 28, Jesus has died on the cross. He's been resurrected. He's about to go back to heaven. And he gives the disciples some marching orders. They apply to us as well. And read with me verses 16 to 18 in your sermon listening guide. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Just before he goes back to heaven, he says to the disciples, I want you to know something. All authority, all authority has been given to me. And he says, in the heavens above, when you look up into the sky, all authority out there, he owns it. And the earth below, he has all authority over mankind. You see, the cross of Jesus Christ redefined the cosmos, the world, our future destinies, the souls of mankind, all rest in his authority. Heaven or hell and our futures, it's all tied up in his authority. And here's the secret. As his children, he wants to share his authority with us. The authority is like a delegated power. It's an empowerment. He gives authority to us. He somehow deposits a sense of confidence into our lives. You might be here today, and maybe life has been really hard for you this past month or year, and your confidence is not what you'd like it to be. You know what will bring it back up? When you realize in your faith relationship with Christ, that his authority becomes your authority. His power becomes your power. And his sense of who he is lives out in you and through you. In the book of Nehemiah, there's a great example of having authority and confidence. You know the story, Nehemiah serving in the king's court as the king's cupbearer. He feels called to go back to Jerusalem, hundreds of miles away, to rebuild the walls. He heard they were broken down. So Nehemiah goes before the king and says, King, I want to give up my job because my heart is with my people in Jerusalem. I got to go there and help them rebuild the city wall. And he found favor in the presence of the king. And listen, here's what he asks the king. If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that when they will provide me, they will provide things for me when I arrive in Judah? May I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. Here's what happened. The king gave him a letter for the keeper of the forest. And as Nehemiah made his journey towards Jerusalem, he produced the letter to the keeper of the forest. And the keeper of the forest gave him trees to rebuild the city, the gates. You see, God gives us letters. It's his word. His promises. He gives us these, and he says, I want you to walk in confidence. Maybe it's at your job. Walk in new confidence. Why? He's given you a letter of empowerment to be his representative wherever you work. Maybe it's your family. Receive that empowerment. Be a blessing to your kids, your wife, your husband, whoever it is. And so wherever you go, understand he wants you to be confident because he's giving you a letter. It's authority to work in his name. And when we do that, we become a great world changer because of our outlook and our attitude. Read with me 1 John 5:14 and 15 in your notes. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Do you realize when you pray and you know something is God's will for yourself or somebody else, you can pray that prayer with confidence that you will receive what you're asking for. I mean, it gives us a sense of authority just to claim his word. He gives us letters to live by, his promises, just like Nehemiah. So how do you become a world changer? The first thing is, it's not in our power, but it's in the authority and the power that Jesus gives to us. He just downloads it. And I hope in this service, in the remainder of this message, you will allow the authority of Christ to seep into your soul. You will just open yourself to it, and you will leave here differently because his power becomes your power to live with confidence in this life. Number two. The second truth about being a world changer is this. You live a life with purpose. You live life with purpose. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples. Circle those two words, make disciples. Have you ever wondered what your purpose in life is? It's like, God, I can do this, I can't do this, but here I am, I seem ordinary. I want you to know your purpose is identified here. You know what it is? Make disciples. You know what that means? You influence people for the kingdom. It starts with your kids. And then it's your neighborhood kids and maybe your grandkids. It's maybe the people at your office, the people you meet on a regular basis in your life. You become a world change agent when you live on purpose to influence other people's lives for the sake of making disciples so that they too can spend heaven in eternity with Christ himself. This past week, actually it was yesterday, was Dick Jones's funeral. It was at the Riverside Alliance Church, and the family asked that I would do the service. It was a real privilege and honor. I'd known Dick for many years, and actually when I moved here in the year 2000, he's one of the first people. He was on Griswold Street, came up, knocked on the door, rang the doorbell, whatever, and he introduced himself. I'm Dick Jones. I'd never met him before, but he came to me, and it was an amazing thing, and that started a great friendship over the years. But at the service yesterday, Carmen, his niece, had sent me in advance a couple of pictures taken from his Bible. And I have the two pictures here. And on these two pages from his Bible are names of people. And on one sheet, there are 30 names. On another sheet, there are 13. And these are people that he led to faith in Christ. And so he has a little journal here, and he says, he puts the person's name, puts a date, where he was at, and he says, born again, born again, born again. And he literally kept a running tab of people he led to faith in Christ. Now, here's what really amazed me. Dick was out there making disciples. He worked in the produce department at the Big M, R&P, the Great American. That's his life's work in the produce department, and he's making disciples. Now, here's what's neat about this. When I studied this list, he made a list and identified the places he was at when it happened, when somebody put their faith in Christ. Let me share those with you. There's a name here, it goes 2009. He was in Sunday school with some kid or younger person. December 21, 2010, he's at the hospital. And he says some person was born again. He shared his faith. Here's another one. May 26, 2011, he was at somebody's home. Another one, March 31, 2012, he's at the country store, and he leads somebody to faith. He's making disciples. Here's another one, Jen's office. Here's another one, he's at McDonald's, the places we go to, and he said he led somebody to faith in Christ at that location, Roscoe Infirmary. He was down there for a period of time. He led somebody there to faith. He said they're born again. Robinson Terrace Nursing Home. He spent time up there. And so this is just two snapshots of two pages, but I want you to grasp something. Dick Jones, who worked in the produce department at the Big M, that's how he was known, was a disciple maker. And you know what that tells us? You and I can be a disciple maker, whether it's McDonald's, whether it's at the country store, whether it's at somebody's home, whether at a hospital or a Sunday school classroom. We, you and I, can be disciple makers as well. Jesus said, you want to change the world? Focus on influencing people's hearts for their eternity in the kingdom. I read a story about Abraham Lincoln that before he got elected president, he was a storekeeper in Salem, Illinois, and the store had rifles in it. And there was one rifle that was a real beautiful rifle. The barrel was made from the finest steel. The stock was from the best walnut wood around, and there was a world-famous gunsmith that had assembled the gun. It was a beautiful gun. And one day in walks a rather wealthy farmer who was decorating a room in his country mansion. And he looked at all the rifles, the simple ones, but his eye focused on this beautiful gun. And he said, that's the one I want. So he bought the gun, and he took it home, and he put it on a mantle above the fireplace. He had other trophies in the room. So this gun, this beautiful-looking gun, was mounted on top above the fireplace. Here's what happened. The gun was never shot or fired again. The purpose of the gun was to shoot it, but it became a decoration. No longer used for its intended purpose. It's now a decoration. It's possible to live a Christian life and be a decoration. And you never get to your purpose. And the purpose is to make disciples, to be a person that influences other people. And we come to church and we can end up being a decoration. We're good to look at. After all, we come on Sunday mornings. But we never get around to purpose. And I want us to know and understand, to change the world, to be an influencer, to be individuals as well as a church family that makes a difference in people's lives, we have to make disciples. Be a Dick Jones in the country store, at the hospital, wherever you go. It's a mindset of living a life of purpose. This coming April, Pastor Jack and I are going to team teach a class. It's going to be between the two services. We're going to start at 9:45 or as soon as we can till about 10:30. And here's a picture of the material we're going to use. It's called the Scent Lab. And it's an eight-week series or eight-week study. It could go longer than that. But here's what it'll do. The purpose is, the verse on the top says, as the Father has sent me, so have I sent you. And it's the words of Jesus. We're going to learn how to live a sent life to activate our faith. And so the gist of it is that you and I need to activate what's inside of us, our sentness, our spirituality. And so we'll talk about how to share your faith and how to transition in conversation to help people as we think about just influencing their hearts. And so it's going to be we'll call it a Scent Lab, and we're going to offer that. There's a book. It's out in the foyer. Sign-up sheet. The books will be about $10, and you're all welcome to come, and we're going to start this the 1st of April. But here's what we want to do. We want to become better at being a Dick Jones. I need to do better, too, in my conversations with people. How do I transition? How do I share snippets of faith? How do I share my story? And that's the whole purpose of our class beginning the first part of April. So we'd love to have you be a part of it if you want. And I say the sign-up sheet's out there, and there's books available as well. I'd like for you to read with me Psalm 138:8 in your notes. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Here's the paraphrase. Don't be a decoration. Live out your purpose. That's it. And we all want that. So number one, walk with confidence through life. Absorb and receive his power and authority into your life today so that we can move forward with confidence. Number two, live a life with purpose, influencing other people for the kingdom. Finally, number three. The third part about being a world changer is this: lead with vision. Have a big picture vision for your life. I want to stretch you during this point. Look with me at Matthew 28:19. Let's read it together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So Dick Jones did it in Walton and wherever he went. We want to do that too. But Jesus said, I want you to do it in all nations. So after this service, we're going to have an international meal. A lot of people have put a lot of time and energy into some good food. Some are international, others are good old American. I brought a rhubarb pie. That's American. But we're going to enjoy that time together. But here's the point. When we think about all the nations, we established a 40-year goal last fall, 2021 to 2061. Okay, I'll be 105. Okay. But we want to touch every nation in the world. There's 195 countries, 195. And so the goal is to touch every nation over 40 years. Good old church in Walton, New York. And today we're going to hang 40 flags of countries we've already served or will be serving this year. 40, you know, that's 20% of the total. That's amazing. People have stepped up and say, I want to sponsor this country. I want to do that one. You're just a great group. It's fun. And over a period of time, which I don't think will take 40 years, we want to touch 195 countries. You know why? We want to be a part of the Great Commission when Jesus said, go to all the world. All the world. And so let me tell you the three components of the vision or the goal. Number one, we want to pray for every country. There's a list out on the table of all 195 countries, and you can pick one up. They're free, and you can pray over them. Just God, each country, just bless it. Number two, we want to send $500 to every country in the world or some ministry equivalent, and touch all of the world going forward. We're going to find a credible Christian organization, and we'll send it. Some we know, some we're going to research, and we're going to send it to them, and we just want them to be a blessing to other people in those countries. Or, for example, Colleen Beers did a veterinary missionary trip to, I think it was Honduras, and you know, that counts, and so maybe there's a ministry equivalent rather than just the cash. But here's the third thing. Now listen closely. We're going to pray a prayer that over the next 40 years, God will raise up individuals from this church family, to visit every country in the world. Tammy's just signed up. You better buy your ticket. There's a lot of countries. But here's the deal. You may be sitting here and you say, I've never done or I've never traveled and so forth. Who's to say God wouldn't tap your heart at a future point to go serve the people of Ukraine or go to some place in the world where you're needed? And it's a simple prayer. It's a big one. But who knows? God will just raise up people, and we want to track them. We want to keep a list of all the different places people go. It's not a vacation. It's a ministry presence of some kind. Ministry presence. But maybe God will call you to be one of those individuals, to go to some country nobody's ever been to before. You know why? We have a vision to make disciples of all nations. And this congregation, I want you to feel proud and a part of saying, hey, it may be small, but we want to do our best to be a world changer in that way. Walt Disney never lived
for the opening of Disney World. He died before it opened. And it was at the dedication. Somebody turned to Walt Disney's wife and made this comment. Too bad Walt wasn't here so he could see this. And the wife responded, he did see it or it wouldn't be here. That's vision. He saw it in his heart and mind years before it became a reality. He had the vision for it. You see, that's what you and I need to do. Have a vision for your life before it comes to pass. Dream big. We're a world changer. We have authority, confidence to live it out. We're living on purpose. Who knows what God can do with a small church in Walton, New York? Be a world changer. Go and make disciples of all nations. Read with me Proverbs 28:19 in the notes. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Circle four words, attend to what he reveals. Guess that's five. Listen, here's the secret. Listen closely. It's what God reveals to you. As you listen to his, read his word and you listen to his voice, it's what he prompts you to do. It's what he raises you up for. It's through his authority and his power that he will show you what he wants to do with your life. And finally, read with me John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Here's a principle. It's worthy of a future message. The Father is already at work in Walton, New York. And it says Jesus only does what he sees the Father leading him to do. The same is true of us. We can only join in with him. We don't have to manufacture the plan. He's already got it. He will reveal it if we listen for it and we join him in his work. Lead your life with vision. Three simple thoughts. Walk with confidence. Live with purpose. Be a Dick Jones. And lead with vision like Walt Disney did. Concluding verse, it's in your notes. Let's read it together. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's already prepared stuff for you in your individual life that he wants you to do. It's written there. I mean, it's already in the ledger. It's in the books. He's prepared them in advance. Now, here's the key thought. Last slide. Here it is. We are created to be a world changer. You and I are created for that. And he has prepared works in advance, things for us to do. We just have to listen to his voice. And we can be a world changer by changing our own worlds that we live in. We're going to close in prayer, and I want your heart to be expanded this morning. Your vision, I want your confidence to grow. I want you to hone in on the purpose of what it means to influence other people in your family and your friends and where you work so that you can be a disciple maker. Let's bow together for prayer. I want you to take just a few moments of silence with your heads bowed and eyes closed. What is God stirring in your heart today? I mean, what? Let him speak to you in these moments. Father, we bow before you, and we just humble ourselves in your presence. And I pray for the person here that needs a new dose of confidence. Life has beat them up. They feel worn down. And I pray that there would be an authority transfer, a download, a conference of power in this very moment. And as each person opens their heart, you will just drop within them, because of who you are, a sense of authority to live life with confidence. I pray you'll fill that person's tank in this very moment. Father, we confess sometimes we're just a decoration. We're the rifle over the fireplace on the wall. Forgive us. And help us to be like Dick Jones, a disciple maker wherever we go. McDonald's, the hospital, country store, even a nursing home. Help us just to get a vision, to live life with purpose, to make disciples and to influence people for eternity in Christ-likeness. I pray for every person here today that needs to lay hold of, in their heart, their sense of purpose from you. And Father, I pray now for every person here for their vision. Stretch us. I pray you'll enlarge it. I pray you'll expand it. While we live locally, we want to touch the world, all the nations. And Father, I pray for everybody listening in the sanctuary online, because you may have a plan for them that they haven't even realized yet. A calling, a sense of mission, to touch other people in other parts of the world, whether a short-term assignment or long-term, whatever it is. And I pray you'll stir the heart of that person here today, that you are tapping them to be a disciple maker, not only in Walton, New York, but Lord, sometime, somewhere in the future, the Holy Spirit will prompt them. They'll be called, they'll be sent to visit some other country for the sake of the kingdom. So Lord, this morning, we just offer ourselves. We're simple, ordinary people, but we serve a big God. We serve a God that's got all authority wrapped up in his Son. And we surrender to that authority. And we pray you'll help us to live it out every day under that sense of rulership and guidance. Father, I pray you'll give each of us a world changer mentality. Our lives can count. Today we have purpose. We're not just a decoration. We are someone sent by you to bless other people for the kingdom. So, Lord, we just pray now you'll bless the remainder of this day. Bless this week. Give us a new sense of passion and excitement for living. Bless the food and the fellowship to follow as we go to this luncheon. And then we hang 40 flags representing all the countries. This church, has touched in the world. And for this we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.